Mahijamuni Devi ki jai,
jai,
Bhakti Devi ki jai,
jai.
Tulsi Maharani ki
jai,
jai. Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki
jai,
jai. Gaura Premanande.
Jai.
All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled. All glorious to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Chapakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sri Sri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vikam Sam Sidhidham Sadvaitam Sadhvitam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Raghunatam Sri Vishakam Vikam Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 February 25th, 2012 in Karlovac, Croatia. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 12, Birth of Emperor Parikshit, Text 1. Shanaka Uvacha.
Shanaka Uvacha.
Asvatamo pasrishtena.
Asvatamo pasrishtena.
Brahma shirshno rutejasa.
Brahma shirshno rutejasa.
Uttaraya hato garba.
Uttaraya hato garba.
Ishena jivita punaha.
Ishena jivita punaha. Shaunaka uvacham.
Shaunaka uvacham.
Ashvatam no pasrishtena.
Ashvatam no pasrishtena.
Brahma shirsh no rutejasam.
Brahma shirsh no rutejasam.
Uttaraya hato garbam.
Uttaraya hato garbam.
Ishena jivita punam.
Ishena jivita punam.
Shaunaka uvacha.
Shaunaka uvacha.
Ashvatam no pasrishtena.
Ashvatam no pasrishtena.
Brahma shirshno rutejasa.
Brahma shirshno rutejasa.
Uttaraya hato garbha.
Uttaraya hato garbha.
Ishena jivita punaha.
Ishena jivita punaha.
Shaunaka uvacham.
Shaunaka uvacham.
Ashvatam no
pasrishtenam.
Ashvatam no
pasrishtenam. Brahma shrishno rutejasam.
Uttaraya hato garbam.
Ishena jivita punam. Shaunaka uvacha.
Ashvatam
na pasrishtena.
Brahma shishno tejasa.
Uttaraya hato
garbha.
Ishena jivita punaha.
Shaunaka uvacha. The great sage Shanaka said,
the great sage
Ashvatamna.
Ashvatamna.
Of Ashvatama, the son of Drona.
Ashvatama, son of Drona.
Upashishtena.
Upashishtena.
By release of.
By release of.
Brahma Shirshna.
Brahma Shirshna.
The invincible weapon, Brahmastra.
Invincible weapon, Brahmastra.
Is there a problem?
No.
Urutejasa.
Urutejasa.
By high temperature.
By high temperature.
Uttarayaha.
Uttarayaha.
Of Uttara, mother of Parikshit.
Of Uttara, mother of Parikshit.
Hataha.
Hataha.
Being spoiled.
Being spoiled.
Garbha.
Garbha.
Womb. Ishena.
Ishena.
By the Supreme Lord.
By the Supreme Lord.
Ajivitaha.
Ajivitaha.
Brought to life.
Brought to life.
Punaha.
Punaha.
Again.
Again.
Translation. The sage Shaunika said, the womb of Uttara, mother of Maharaja Parikshit, was spoiled by the dreadful and invincible Brahmastra weapon released by Ashwatthama, but Maharaja Parikshit was saved by the Supreme Lord. Purport. The sages, you can read a little, you can be a little louder back there, by the way. You can be a little louder.
No,
it's okay. I'll just let the, yeah. But you can also be a little louder.
Okay.
I remember in Lithuania when Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj was giving a class in Russian and somebody was doing this for me in English. Me and a few other people, so hard to hear the English.
Mm.
You know, I had to focus so hard afterwards I wanted to sleep. I was exhausted. I felt like I had just run around the world or something. So it's all right to be a little louder. And I'll try to speak very slowly. Purport. The sages assembled in the forest of Naimisharanya inquired from Shuchi Goswami about the birth of Maharaj Parikshit. But in the course of the narration, other topics like the release of the Brahmastra by the son of Drona, his punishment by Arjuna, Queen Kunti Devi's prayers, the Pandava's visit to the place where Bhishma Dev was lying, his prayers, and thereafter the Lord's departure for Dwarka was discussed. His arrival at Dwarka and residing with the 16,000 queens, etc., was narrated. The sages were absorbed in hearing such descriptions, but now they wanted to return to the original topic. And thus the inquiry was made by Shaunika Rishi. So the subject of the release of the Brahmastra weapon by Ashwatthama is renewed. If there's that many people, maybe we should do piece by piece? But how many people you have? Just those two, okay.
He's just saying that when you are speaking very fast, you cannot understand.
And I will speak slowly.
Okay.
I will speak very slowly and very distinctly. Okay? Actually, when I stay at my son's house, he says, Mata, why are you speaking like that? Why are you saying water instead of water?
No.
And I said, because I get used to speaking in countries where people don't know English as their first language. And so I have trained myself to speak very slowly and very distinctly. But if I forget and I start going fast, you please tell me? That's our bargain here, okay? Can we make this deal? Because I'm originally from New York City, and people there speak very fast all the time. Everything's fast. So, you please, if I start getting fast, or if I say some word in English that you don't understand, instead of just thinking that I'm crazy, just ask me. Okay? I will not be offended if you ask me. I will be offended if you don't ask. Is that a deal?
Yes.
Everybody agrees? Shanaka Uvacha Asvatamna Pasrishtena Brahma Shrishno Rutejasa Uttaraya Hato Garba Ishena Jivita Punaha. The sage Shanaka said, the womb of Uttara, mother of Maharaja Parikshit, was spoiled by the dreadful and invincible Brahmastra weapon released by Ashwatthama. But Maharaja Parikshit was saved by the Supreme Lord. So here in the purport, Prabhupada is explaining how the sages wanted to know about Parikshit. And in the course of talking about Parikshit, they ended up talking about so many other things. Talked about Asvatthama releasing the Brahmastra. They talked about Arjuna punishing Asvatthama, the prayers of Kunti, the Pandavas visiting Bhishma Dev's prayers, Krishna going to Dwarka, Krishna being in Dwarka with his 16,000 queens, and so forth. And now the sages are saying, let's get back to the original topic. So it's interesting, they were absorbed in hearing all these different descriptions. They were relishing them, they were enjoying them. At the same time, they wanted to get back to the original topic. So this reminds me of Bhishma Dev, when it says that Bhishma Dev, that he had fought on thousands of battlefields with thousands of men, that he could speak on thousands of topics with thousands of meanings. But at the last moment of his life, he withdrew his awareness from... And you don't have to do that. Just be there. Yeah, just serve them. So at the last moment, he fixed his wide open eyes on the personality of the Godhead and invested all of his thinking, feeling, and willing in the Supreme Lord. So one of the main questions that devotees have is, how do I think of Krishna all the time? How do I connect everything I'm doing with Krishna? And sometimes we think, the best thing for me to do would be to just go to one of the holy dhams, go to Vrindavan, go to Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, and just sit and chant and read Prabhupada's books and not do anything else. Right? We think like that. In fact, this kind of dilemma, you know, should I work for the mission of Mahaprabhu, or if one is a householder or thinking of being a householder, should I work in the world, or should I just do nothing other than hearing and chanting? This dilemma, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in Madhurya Kadambini, is one of the symptoms of being a neophyte devotee. It's one of the symptoms of unsteady devotional service, that one is always thinking about one's external situation and trying to adjust one's external situation, thinking that the external situation is the most important and that I'll only be able to be Krishna conscious in a certain type of external situation, and putting all of one's energy or most of one's energy into trying to adjust the material world so that I'll always be able to remember Krishna. In the process of adjusting the material world so I'll always be able to remember Krishna, one doesn't remember Krishna. One is focused on adjusting the material world. So this is a trick of Maya, and it is a symptom of being unsteady in Krishna consciousness, that instead of our thoughts going to Krishna, our thoughts go to, how can I think about Krishna? How can I set things up? We miss the main topic. So the main topic of our lives, of course, is given to Maharaj Purakit in this Bhagavatam, that one should always remember Krishna, Bhavantiye Bhagavata Atmanasatam, that one should be drinking these topics of Krishna. Maharaj Purakit wanted to know, Maharaj Purakit wanted to know, what is the most important thing in life? What should one do at the time of death? Yam yam vapi swam bhavam tvaja chante kalevam tam tam eva tibandeya sarasa bhava bhavita. And when is the time of death? We don't know. You know, you have no guarantee. So everyone in this room looks, we all look like you're under 50, maybe even under 40. So you may be thinking, oh, all right, I have a lot of time. I'm only 20 or I'm only 30. You know, I'm sure I have so many years, and my astrologer told me that my daughter-in-law's mother had been told by many astrologers that she would live a long life, but she didn't. She died in her 50s. So one may think, yes, I'm going to have so much time, I'll think of Krishna at the time of death, and right now let me arrange my life so that I will be able to think of Krishna at the time of death. But rather, we have to be always coming back to the point. So we're going to look at two things. First of all, I'm thinking of the point as like a stream of water. So we were just in... Where am I coming from? I've been traveling to too many places. New Ekachakra in Slovakia. So you're at the farm of New Ekachakra in Slovakia, and there they have a serious problem with water. They don't have any. I mean, they don't have any water at all. I mean, maybe there's water in the morning for a couple of hours. Maybe. You can't even count on that. The first morning we were there, there was nothing. And the devotees are walking 5 minutes each way, and it's a lot of ice and snow there, to get some water from a stream and then carrying it in buckets up an icy hill. You know, so, and they're cooking. They have two Govinda's restaurants. They have to cook for like 200 people without water. Hare Krishna. So you can think about each of the items in the temple that require water. There's the faucets and the sinks in the pujari room. There's the sinks in the kitchen. There's the sinks in the place where they wash the devotees' plates. Then there's the sinks in the bathrooms for the devotees, the shower places and the toilets. So there's all these different places, but they all are connected to the main stream of water. And if the main stream of water is not running, then all of these other things are useless. You may have a sink there, you have the bowl of the sink, and you have the faucet, but when you turn the handle, it just makes a funny noise. And it's not of any value. On the train here also, it was a very bad train. It was like an Indian train. And in the water closets, there was no water. So we go to, there was no water for the toilet, and there was no water also for the sink. Maybe a few drops, maybe. If you push the button 5-6 times, you might get 2 or 3 drops, maybe. And they didn't serve any water on the train either. So material life without connection to Krishna, this is the definition of maya. Krishna says, whatever appears to be of value, if it is not in relation to me, has no reality. Know it to be my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. So something without relation to Krishna is like a sink that's not connected to the water. It looks like a sink. It looks like a shower. But it isn't. It can't function like that. It has no value. In fact, not only no value, it's simply trouble. It's taking up space, you know, and making funny noises. Just trouble. So anything in the material world that we have disconnected from Krishna is like that. It has no use. It has no value. But connected with Krishna, it has value. Of course, everything is actually connected with Krishna. Everything's connected with Krishna. Like in the room where I was staying, because the water was usually not there, they had the pipe that was bringing water to the toilet was turned off. Because otherwise, if you had it on, it would make all these noises all night. Right? So if you have a sink that's actually connected to the water, but you turn the knob off, then even though there's a connection, the water will not flow. So what we are meant to do is two things. First of all, we are meant to open the nozzle so that everything is connected with Krishna. A little later on here in the first canto, the 16th chapter, the sages will be asking about Maharaj Parikit punishing the personality of Kali. And they will say, please tell us this story if it has something to do with Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada in that purport says how any topic, politics, you know, if we think of a really materialistic topic, politics, like you have a sign there, no gossip. But you can gossip if it's about Krishna. You can. You can say, did you hear what Krishna did? One of the Goswamis, I can't remember which one, I think it's Raghunath Das Goswami, if any of you know, you can correct me. He said, I would rather hear the gossip of the residents of Vrindavan than the hymns of the Vedas. Because what are the residents of Vrindavan gossiping about? Do you know what Krishna did? Did you hear? I heard that Krishna went early in the morning and took the clothes from the little girls that were bathing in the river. Did you hear that? No, Krishna didn't do that. He might, I don't know. I mean, Krishna does all kinds of naughty things. You remember when he would pass urine on the clean floor? So maybe he did it. Oh, I don't think Krishna would do that. Those are such nice girls. Why would he do it? I heard that he did. And no one else would do that. He wouldn't give them back their clothes until they came out one at a time. No, that would be really mean. Really, he did that. There were some other boys there, and they saw him. They told me about it. So anything. Gossip, politics. Right? Maharaj Yudhisthira reading in the Bhagavatam over and over and over again about politics. How the great Rajarishis are ruling their kingdom. I was just in the middle of reading one book on management, and I'm mostly interested in it because the person who wrote it is a very, very well-known, big leader in the field of management and leadership, and he's also become a Buddhist, although he's originally German. And he's presenting a management system that's based on Buddhism. So I want to see how he does this. What is his process for trying to connect the management system to some sort of spiritual or quasi-spiritual process? I want to see what his model is so that we can do something like that also from our books. But he made a very interesting point. He said, I'm looking for a system that combines ecology, social relationships, and spirituality. And he said, I've rejected so many so-called spiritual movements because they weren't holistic like that. And I was thinking that our philosophy is very unique. You know, we have a lot of information in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Bhagavatam about the relationship between spirituality and nature. You know, if you read the Bible or the Quran, there's no indication of how God and how spirituality is connected to nature. How does the material world work? What is it made of? Like, it's just nothing except God created the world. And then, of course, we also have a whole social system, a system of social development, varnashrama, that is connected to spirituality. So we have a very comprehensive system. And we can also talk about politics, how to rule. Just recently I was reading where Prabhupada said, the Ishwar above of the Kshatriya, this means the desire to protect. You know, we think about Ishwar above as the desire to command, the desire to control. You know, Ishwar above means you do what I say now, or I punish you. But that's not Ishwar above. The Ishwar above of the Kshatriya was compassion and social welfare work and caring for people. Anyway, this is described in the Bhagavatam. Politics, sociology. There's one heavy purport in the fifth canto that where Prabhupada condemns sociology. So I was reading it recently, and I was very affected because I teach sociology of religion at Pradesh. So I wrote to the head of the college, the head of the theology department, and I showed him this purport. I said, Prabhu, what do we do? Prabhupada's condemning sociology. He says, yes, but so many other places he's glorifying sociology if it's in relationship with Krishna. And that's what Prabhupada says also in this first canto, that anything, psychology, chemistry, if it's used in Krishna's service, it is factually Harikirtan. So that is our first business, is to connect everything we're doing with Krishna, to turn on the water, to make sure that the faucet is on, that it's not just something that looks like a sink, but actually water is coming out of it. And this is the first part of our art, how to see everything in relationship to Krishna. And the second part of our art is, in order to do that, the water has to be flowing. Even if I have the tap turned on, if there's no water flowing, I can't connect it. So here the sages, they want to go back to the original flow. We have to, in order to connect everything with Krishna, we have to keep going back to the original flow. You know, we can go into so many different areas and have the water flow to so many different areas of our life, but we have to keep coming back. What is the original flow? If there's no water flowing at all, you can't connect anything to the water. If there's no electricity coming into your house, you can't plug anything into it. So you want to have both things plugged into it, and the electricity has to be flowing. Both things. So let's look at how we do each thing. So how do we connect everything to Krishna? This requires, at least in the beginning, some intentional effort. At higher stages of devotion, it comes without effort. Naturally, you connect everything to Krishna because there's love. But in the beginning stages, one has to do it by an act of will. One has to make a deliberate effort. Therefore, it's called Abhyas Yoga. Krishna says, from wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must keep withdrawing it and pull it back on the self. That's an effort of will. And it's also an effort of surrender. As Raghunath Das Goswami says in Manashiksha, that one should say, "Oh, killer of Baka, I am being killed by highwaymen. Please save me." So when the mind is wandering, we make an effort of will, but we also surrender to Krishna and to the devotees and say, "Please help me reconnect my mind with Krishna. Help me connect everything that I'm doing with Krishna. Show me where the connection is. Show me where is the pipe and where is the switch." Sometimes if you stay in a place that you're not familiar with, you don't know where the things are, right? You can't find the light switch, or you can't find the power plug, or you can't find the thing on the pipe. So, oh great devotees, oh expert plumbers and electricians, you know, please show me, where is the switch? How can I connect with this with Krishna? And of course, we also make an effort by meditating on how everything is connected with Krishna. So where are the chapters in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna explains how everything in the world is connected with him? What chapters?
Seventh?
Ten?
Two more.
15?
One more. One that's very much like seven. Almost a repeat of seven. Nine. So 7, 9, 10, and 15. So, and then also in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, in the description of the universal form, and then scattered throughout the scriptures, there's descriptions of how everything is connected with Krishna. And then there's examples of how to connect everything with Krishna. Why are we reading the lives of all these great devotees? Well, there's many reasons, but one of them is so we have a model. How do you take care of a wife and children in connection with Krishna? How do you serve a husband in connection with Krishna? How do you have friends in connection with Krishna? How do you do your livelihood in the world in connection with Krishna? How do you take care of your body in connection with Krishna? They're giving us these examples. They're taking the ideas from places like 7, 9, 10, and 15 in Bhagavad Gita and showing us how to put it into practice. But we have to make the effort. We have to make the effort. That means hearing these descriptions from the Shastra and thinking about them. Not just that we read something, okay, I read this, all right, finish the book, close, okay, now what am I... To think about it. To meditate on it during the day. And then, how do we keep the water flowing? Because if you have the faucet turned on, just like which was happening to us in the Ekad Chakra, you could turn on the faucet and it didn't do any good. It was just useless. It made some noise only. And if you left the faucet on all night, you couldn't sleep. From all the faucets. So how do we keep the water flowing? So of course this comes from our basic sadhana, and the quality of our basic sadhana, that when we're chanting japa, when we're chanting kirtan, we should be chanting with connection with Krishna. Not just official. I mean, official chanting is much better than nothing. Sometimes people say, should I chant 3 good rounds or 16 bad rounds? And this is a very strange question. First of all, if I can chant 3 good rounds, then I can chant 3 good rounds. Then you might chant 3 good rounds and 13 bad rounds. But why is there a choice between 3 good and 16 bad? I don't understand this. And if you can chant 3 good, you can chant 16 good. So this is very strange. Where did this choice come from? But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that part of attention is just being attentive to the quantity. That's part of attention. If someone is going to cook 2 times a day, if they just cook, even if it's not so good, just cooking is something. If they say, well, I'm only going to cook if it's like, you know, top gourmet quality, otherwise I will not cook at all. So that's not, I mean, I'd rather have just bland khichdi than fast. So Krishna would rather have some effort to connect with him, even if it's very superficial, than nothing. And Prabhupada uses the word sincerity a lot. So how do we know someone is sincere? Well, first thing is they show up. They come. Okay? If you're an employer and you hire somebody, at least they have to come to work. Even if they don't do anything at work, at least they have to come. That's the first step. So mechanical chanting is better than nothing. Not much, but it is better than nothing. It's a good start, and it can lead to something else. But ideally, we should be chanting with a desire for connection, with a mood of connection. I am your kinkara. Kinkara means, kin means what, kara means do. What can I do? I am your kinkara. I am your servant. Patita mam. But I've fallen down. Vishame bhavam bhujo. I've fallen into a very nasty ocean. Polluted ocean. But I am your servant. I'm one of your employees. Somehow or other, I'm not showing up for work anymore because I fell down in this sewer and I can't get out. Will you please pick me up? So this should be our mood when chanting. Please pick me up and engage me in service. But just like if you've seen a little child, so I know you have a child. Anybody else here? Anyone else here who's a parent? Strange society. Such an unnatural and strange society. So little children, if they're trying to walk and they fall down, they can't get up by themselves. You know, or if they want to climb in their mother's lap, they can't do that by themselves. Mother has to pick them up. So Krishna has to pick us up. Of course, we have to want to be picked up. One thing you will see with little children when they want to be picked up, they put their arms up in the air. So I know you don't have any dealings with a normal society. But anyway, that's what little children do. When they want to be picked up, they go up to the adult they want to pick them up, and they put their arms in the air, and they usually move their arms up and down like this, and sometimes they make some little noise. And then the parent will pick them up. So we have to be calling to Krishna. We have to be chanting, asking Krishna. Right? If vichintaya, you please consider. Not demanding. Not, you must pick me up. I mean, I'm the one who walked off the job and went swimming in the sewer. No, I did that. So I can't demand, Krishna, you please pick me back up. So please, you please consider. Please think about it. I am your servant and I would like to come back. So chanting in the kirtan and in japa with this mood of connection, with this mood of service, with this desire for service, with this desire for love. And then reading like that also. Reading as and hearing as a basis for our meditation. Not just, we say one should always think about Krishna, manmana bhavamad bhakto. Think about Krishna according to the shastras. I was saying we read. Read in the Bhagavad Gita. We should know. 7, 9, 10, 15 chapter. How does Krishna say that he is present in this material world? We have to study that. And we study that with a view to remembering it. Saying, okay, this is what I'm going to meditate today. So our meditation based on hearing and based on really thinking about what we hear. Having that quality in the basic sadhana that we do. And of course, watching our relationship with other living entities, especially devotees, but all living entities. You know, sometimes we're nicer to the cows than we are to our other devotees. You know, so I pet the cow and I yell at my wife. So this is not, you know. And then the water will not be flowing. That will not work. Just like, you know, if somebody is mean to your child or mean to your mother, so you're not going to have anything to do with them. So Krishna also, he loves all living entities. Krishna does not love one living entity more than another living entity. He reciprocates, yetamam prapatyante tamsatai vabhajanyaham. He reciprocates differently depending on how the living entity reciprocates him. But his love for all living entities is equal. And therefore, jiva doya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says two things, namruchi and jiva doya. So one must endeavor to get a taste for the name, which we do by connection. And then one must be kind to all living entities. You know, we are very good at being kind to the little bugs. When I was getting my graduate degree, there were some students making a presentation at the front of the room. And one of them said, "Oh, there's a spider!" And she took her boot and she stamped on the spider. She said, "Oh, not anymore." And I was sitting in the class, horrified, and thinking, there's really a big difference between the devotees and the non-devotees. So we devotees were trained that if there's some little insect, that we take care of it. We put it outside, just like I'm sure you all heard this story, how Prabhupada, in the middle of the night, he called his servant. You know, woke up his servant, I think it was Shruti Kirti. And you know, what is it? He had to wake up in the middle of the night. Prabhupada said, there's this little bug on my table, and he can't get anything to eat inside. Can you please put him outside so he can get some food? So we're all trained like this, that we should be kind to the little bugs, and we should be kind to the animals. And sometimes, though, we are not very kind to each other. We should be kind to other human beings. And what to speak of to the devotees. So sometimes the people we treat worse are the devotees. This also to keep the water flowing. And even to be nice to the devotees who are not nice to us. Not that I'm only nice to people who are nice to me. I mean, we want to say that we have a higher philosophy than the Christians. But Jesus taught you should love your enemy. He's not even teaching Krishna's holy name. He's not teaching Bhakaloka Vrindavan. This is a sub-religious principle. And he says, love your enemy, do good to those who hurt you, pray for those who curse you. So at least we should do that. At least we should be able to follow the religious principles of the Mulechas and the Yavanas. And without that, there's no question that the water is flowing. It just will not. We won't be able to connect with Krishna if we're cruel to other living entities. So, and especially to be kind to those who hurt us. Especially to pray for those who hurt us, for those who are unfair to us and cruel to us. So this is the basic principle of connecting everything with Krishna, of always getting back to the point. So our main point is to think of Krishna at every moment. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. To love Krishna, that's the main point. Maya Shakta Manaparta. That's the stream of water. So we have to, first of all, keep that stream of water flowing, constantly get back to that. Wherever we go, whatever we do, always get back to that. And whatever we do, keep it connected. Keep it connected. just like here the sages, they're talking about so many topics, but the topics are all connected, and they keep getting back to the original stream. And if we do that, then just like here in the verse, it's saying that Uttara's womb was spoiled. How does it say here? Uttaraya hata garba. The womb of Uttara had been spoiled. But Ishena ajivitaha punaha. But Isha, the Supreme Lord, again he brought her womb back to life. What is the womb? The womb is the organ of the body that creates new life. So we want to create a new life of Krishna consciousness. And everything in our life becomes spoiled when it is disconnected with Krishna. By connecting with Krishna again, it has new life. And every aspect of our life can then give birth to bhakti. So questions, comments, corrections? I'm sorry, I can't talk very loud. Throat's not working so well. Questions, comments? Was that okay? Did I speak slowly and clearly enough? And you could understand most of the English even. Very good, okay. Yes,
Bob. I have a question. Actually, I have many questions. Maybe.
Well, let's see.
I just focus
on... Why don't you pick the one you really want to ask.
Yeah. You said that without following some sub-religious principles of morality and so on, we cannot have a connection with Krishna. So I wonder how is this.
Where do these sub-religious principles come from?
Of course, they come from Krishna.
They come from Krishna. I mean, it's possible. Krishna can do anything. So Krishna can establish a relation with somebody who 1 minute ago was a demon. He can do that. Like Magrari the hunter, by the grace of Narada, he went from 1 minute being someone who wasn't even following civilized life to the next minute being a devotee. So that's possible. But that's extremely unusual. Therefore, we have our four regulative principles. Can you get Krishna's mercy and connect with Krishna if you're eating cows? Yes, it's possible. It's not impossible, but it's going to be very unusual. You know, can you connect with Krishna if you're taking LSD and alcohol and heroin? Is that possible? Yes, Krishna's independent. He can do anything. Krishna's not limited by any material situation. We have Jagai and Madai, we have Madhuri, we have Valmiki. We have instances of people who were, even by Malecha's standards, they were very low. But that's going to be very unusual. Therefore, the first offense is blaspheming the devotees. And throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about being kind to all living entities and having the welfare of all living entities. It's one of the most important principles. It's one of the main qualities of the devotees mentioned by Lord Kapila Dev, Suridam Sarvadev, you know. And without that, approaching Krishna is going to be very, 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 very difficult. It's possible, but it's very difficult. If somebody is hurting my mother, how will I get a friendly relationship with them? I mean, why would I want to? So Krishna has love for all living entities. Now, we don't be kind to all living entities separate from Krishna. It's part of our devotion to Krishna. Being kind to all living entities, like most of what else we do in Krishna consciousness, is both a way of connecting with Krishna and a symptom of having connected with Krishna. Like I offer Krishna a flower. So why do I offer a flower? If I want to establish a relationship of love with someone, flowers are very appropriate. So all over the world, if you want to establish a loving relationship with a person, flowers are one sign of that, isn't it? Isn't that a fact? Okay. Whereas if I gave you an automobile part, it doesn't have the same effect. I mean, unless you needed that. And flowers are also a symptom of a relationship of love that already exists. So if I want to have a loving relationship with you that doesn't yet exist, giving you flowers is one way to establish it. And if I want to, exhibit love that is already there, giving flowers is also another way to do that. Same with giving food. Same with giving gifts. So, if one loves Krishna, then naturally they're kind to all living entities. That's one of the symptoms of advancement in Krishna consciousness. That's one of the symptoms of a self-realized soul. They're suridam sarvadevinam. They don't harm anyone, even their enemies. But it's also one of the ways of becoming Krishna conscious. It's also a way of saying to Krishna, I want a relationship with you. We're not interested in the sub-religious principles so we can be a good person in human society. That's the mode of passion. Mode of passion is I'm interested in the sub-religious principles so I will get honor and I will get name and fame and people will say, what a righteous man. So that's not our motive. Our motive is to please Krishna because these rules come from Krishna. And the only time we would break those rules is on the direct order of Krishna. So if Krishna is there on the battlefield and he says, go kill your guru, Arjuna, then we do. Otherwise, no. So these sub-religious principles, they can be countermanded by the Lord because he's the one who made them. But unless we get a direct order to countermand them, we follow them because they please him. He's the one who created them. They come from him. Very difficult to please Krishna without following his instructions. How can you do that? How can you please anybody without following their instructions? How is that possible? If you want to make me happy, you have to make me happy in the way that I want to be happy. If you do the opposite of what I want, and you say, I'm doing it, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, many people do that. Many people do that. I had experience with one devotee girl who was saying, Ormila, I really just want to make you happy. But she would do the opposite of anything I asked her to do. I said, who are you making happy, me or you? She would do for me what she wanted to do for me. I mean, I was quite sick. It was in India. And I said, okay, I need just some... Because she was getting me my prasadam. And I said, I just need some yogurt and rice and bananas. Because I'm sick. So she brought me pakoras. I said, why did you bring me pakoras? She said, because I want to enjoy that you're eating pakoras. I said, you bringing the food for me or for you? And she did that over and over again, so many times. 500 times. So if you want to please someone, you give them what they like. How do you know what they like? It's very simple, you ask them. It's a very simple thing. Or you can observe them. You can observe what they do, see what they like. I think Krishna does with this with his devotees. Mahaprabhu, when he's having prasadam with his devotees, he's putting on every person's plate the particular kind of food that they like. So Krishna also has things that he likes. And if we want to please him and love him, we have to ask him, what do you like? And he says, what he likes. He says, I like this, I like this, I like this, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this. It's actually quite simple. And what does he like? He likes jivadoya. He like wants us to be merciful to all living entities, even those who are our enemies. And this is just beginning Bhagavad Gita. Sixth chapter, by the way. Basically, ABC, beginning. Anyone else? No? Okay, thank you very much. All grace to Srila Prabhupada.